The scripture reading for tonight is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Dear congregation, we will continue the explanation of Revelation chapter 1, and we were and have to begin now with verse 8. Dear congregation, to know Christ, that has a beginning. Do you remember, children of God? When Christ was revealed to your soul the first time, when your eyes were opened to see the beauty, the glory of the Savior. We read it here. Verse 17. And then I saw him. Every true believer knows precious moments when we see him. And to see, that's very personal. You can give witness to others from what you are seeing. And you say, look, that's what John did, writer of Revelation. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, I see him, he said. That was John the Baptist, but John, the writer of Revelation, was hearing it. He saw the Savior as the Lamb of God. Behold! And at the same moment, the eyes of John and Peter were opened to see the same. How important is therefore the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ? Christ must lift it up in the preaching of the gospel so that sinners can see him. Was that the desire of your soul tonight? O Lord, that I may see thee, the King, in his beauty. For when we ever saw him, we saw him who is far more beautiful than the children of men. No one and nothing can be compared with the beauty, the worthy of Christ. And I hope you know that in your own experience. I more than once said already to you that in our Dutch translation of the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom Christ is mentioned, my most beloved one. And John, the disciple who was beloved by Christ, his special disciple, saw his blessed Savior. Now he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And what seemed to be the most difficult time at his old age became the most blessed time. That's possible, older people in our midst. That may be the desire and the prayer of our soul, that our last days may be the best days. When Christ is more and more revealed to our heart and becomes more and more precious to our soul, then we are fresh and green to glorify his name to our children, to our grandchildren. For John was very old when Christ was revealed more and more to his soul. And the Lord commanded him to write it down so that we should hear it tonight. Wonderful, isn't it? In the holy, wonderful, loving providence of the Lord, He brought here us together to hear what John, by grace, saw in Christ. And the same Spirit who revealed Christ to John is working now too. And it's allowed for each of us when we are listening that we are praying at the same time. O Lord, bless thy word. Open my eyes, open my heart, that my eyes may see the King in his beauty. For you must see Christ for yourself. You must love Christ for yourself. You must have Christ for yourself as your own personal Savior, my Lord and my God. What saw John here in Christ? Well, he says, so revealed the Lord himself to him, I am. That's the basic name of God. The name of God in Hebrew exists out of two letters, G-H. And the basic meaning of it is, I am. I am everywhere, always. Always I am. That's the living God. He is. He is here. He is at home. He's everywhere. We are in his presence. That's the great difference with the idol. He is not. He exists only in the thoughts of men. God is the living God. He is. And Jesus is truly God. From all eternity united is the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Trinity. That's very important, that our eyes, by grace, see Him as God. For what happens? And you see Christ as God. Well, you then to worship. Do you worship Him? Then do you adore Him? Then do you glorify Him? Who say the people, ask the Lord to His disciples, who am I? And the great majority saw Christ walking, heard Him preaching, saw His wonders, and did not yet see His divine glory. May I ask you, did you see the divine glory of Christ? It's not enough to know it by head, to be brought up in the doctrine that Christ is truly God. That's needy, that's good, but not enough. Our eyes must see the King in His divine glory. I am. Maybe, children, ye remind the nice story of the man who was blind born. And that's terrible. And you can't see nothing. That you never saw the air, never saw your father and mother, never saw your brother and sister, nothing. Always in darkness. Well, that's the image of a man without spiritual life, dead and blind. But you know how the Lord healed his blindness, his bodily blindness. that he was thrown out by the Pharisees, and that the Lord later on looked for him and put a question to his soul: do you believe in the Son of God? Very personal. Do you believe in the Son of God? And he was honest. And he said, who is he, O Lord, that I may believe him? He was still blind. Christ was standing before him. Christ has healed him from his blindness. And yet he did not yet see that Christ is the eternal God. And with one word, the Lord opened his eyes spiritually. It is me with whom you are speaking. And then he confessed, I believe. And he adored him. He worshipped Christ as the Son of God. That's very, very important. That we know Christ. That we really know, adore, worship Christ as he is. I am. So John may see the King in his beauty. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord. Very strong, says the Lord. It's not a word of man. It's a word which must be impressed deep in your soul, so that you never can forget it, says the Lord. When the Lord is speaking, that's different from all human speaking. That's his power. That's from heaven. That's eternal truth. Says the Lord. Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, the last letter, the beginning and the ending. He has not the beginning. He is the beginning. And he makes always the beginning also in our heart and life. And that's the great difference and can be the struggle in the heart and life of a child of God. Oh Lord, did I begin myself? Or art thou the beginning also in my heart and life? From when he is the beginning in our life, in our heart, in our soul, then he is also the ending. The beginning without begin. I don't understand that, you say. How is that possible? Well, my dear friends, when the Lord comes over in your soul and gives you grace to look back, how long, child of God, did the Lord love you? From all eternity. No beginning. I am the beginning. And when we are assured by the Holy Spirit of the love of God in Christ Jesus for us personally, we are allowed to see back. I loved you with an everlasting love. I heard an expression in Dutch that a child of God said, I am so old as God. I was always in his heart, and he loved me from all eternity. He is the beginning. And when he begins, he shows me, I always loved you. And I shall always love you. He's the ending, an ending without end. Wonderful. Not to understand, but to admire. An ending without end. Then you look forward. then there shall never, never be a moment that the Lord not love you. From eternity to eternity is His love, His faithfulness. And when our eyes see the King in His beauty tonight, congregation, then we are really comforted. When we can rest in the eternal love of God, and by grace know not only other ones, also me. And that love is burning the lust of our flesh and the desire for sin. For that love, when it is living in our soul, makes us holy. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Do you long for it? Did you think of it today? How many days go on that we not think at the coming of our Lord? When we expect beloved ones, we feel it in our situation now. We expect children, and we often think still 2 weeks and then they come. We are longing for them, for we are loving them. He who was, who He is, who He comes. That's sure. No one can stop that. No one can resist that. And what brings that in our heart? Fear. When we are not prepared for His coming. That's terrible. Children, my young people, are you prepared when Christ comes? He is. He is here. He is everywhere. He was. And He is coming. And the Spirit and the Ghost and the Spirit and the Bride say, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Are you the Bride? Did you ever be the Bride? That's the question. Maybe that some of us say, no, I'm so dead, I'm so cold, it seems so impossible, it's so far away from me. And devil says in your heart, you cannot become converted. That's not possible. At one side he has right. Devil, the devil has always a half-truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And He gives us the full truth. The dear congregation, the devil is always speaking the half of the truth. And when you believe the half, it's impossible. Then you fall in despondency. Then you become depressed. Then you lose all your courage. And then is there that voice of the devil, also in young hearts? Seek the world. Don't seek the Lord. It's so impossible. When I hear how I must be, how I must live, what I shall feel when I really convert it, I am the beginning, says the Lord, the Almighty. That's the Lord we preach you, an Almighty Savior, unto whom is given all power in heaven and in earth. Come to Him when you have no mind. He is Almighty. And He let us know in His precious gospel that it is His pleasure listen good, his pleasure to save. Not to destruct. The Son of Man has come to save the world. Not to destruct the world. It's his pleasure, friends, to give you a new life, to convert you, to make you a new man. Says the Almighty, there is no hope for you in yourself, but there is so much hope for you in Christ. Oh, that your eyes may see that tonight. We have an Almighty Savior. And so John writes it, and we may hear it tonight. And then in verse 9, he says, I, John. Is that not a little bit proud? I, John. I don't think so. You can say that in a different manner. By nature, people indeed say I first. But there is also, by grace, the saying, I. Why I cannot understand. I can only admire the wonderful grace, electing grace of God. Why I? Such a man as I am, John. His name means, children, you know it may be, John. God is graceful. God is merciful. The Lord gives grace. That's a very nice name, isn't it? I, John, by the grace of God, a disciple of Christ, a lover of Christ, and now a man at old age, and so close to his Lord. I, John, who also am your brother. The Church of God is one family. Do you belong to that family already? Not by natural ties, not by natural blood, but by the blood of Christ. One family. Wonderful unity. Is John your brother? Then is Christ your most beloved one. Then is Christ your eldest brother. Then you are united with Christ. In the same body, he is the head. And all his true children are his members. Same love, the same longing, the same sight, not the same measure. There is great, not the same gifts. There is a great difference. But in the root of the matter, there is no difference. All the brothers and sisters united with Christ have the same feelings by the Holy Spirit work in their hearts. The same sadness, the same joy, the same desire, the same longing, the same future, the same Father, the same God, the same goal. What a unity! I often said it already, and I repeat it very often still, I think. There is only one church. There is only one church. One body. Let us seek the unity of all who love Christ sincerely. That's what John here is meaning. I am your brother. I'm not more. I'm not standing above you. I put my hand, my arm around your shoulder. I am your brother. Not your master, but your brother. It's the same grace, it's the same love. I'm the same sinner. And grace only saves me, that sinner I am. So he comes very close. The Lord stretched out his hands over his disciples. Thy mother and thy brothers are seeking thee. And the Lord said, that's my mother. That's my brothers who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father? That we should believe in the only begotten Son of God. That's the will of the Father. And in that face, united, we are really brothers and sisters and shall love each other. For John is the apostle of love. There is so much love in his gospel, in his letters, and also in this last book. For that's the mark, the head mark of real grace, the head mark of the children of God, that we love each other. And before our Lord went to heaven, how much impressed he that on his disciples. The new command I give you, that you shall love each other, that the world may know that you are my disciples, because you love each other. I, John, I am also your brother. Don't glorify me. Give all glory and honor to Christ only, to God in Christ only, in the power of the Holy Spirit. No man in the middle point. We are brothers. That's what Christ, his disciples, taught. No one is your master. You are all brethren. And at school with Christ, he has learned his lesson by grace. Do we too? Are we taught by the Holy Spirit in true humbleness, in brotherly love? For throughout the Bible, we see a very strong accent on love. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. The Church of God has tribulation. And this word, tribulation, has a very special meaning in Greek. It's original the pain of a woman in travail. A woman which is in the pains when she gets a child. How painful. What a pain, what a tribulation. And yet there is, through the tribulation, through the pain, the hope, it's not in vain. A child shall be born. A new birth shall follow. That's the original meaning of the Greek word tribulation here. It has the promise of the new life, the new birth, when Christ comes, when eternity is there. Then all things shall be new. But here, the tribulation. All who love the Lord Jesus Christ have to suffer. They hated me, they shall hate also you. They hated me without cause. It's strange. You don't have that tribulation. For we live in a world full of sin, full of enmity, against the world, against the work of God. From the devil you may believe everything, but not the truth. And When you believe truly, when you are united with Christ, when you belong to the body of Christ, then you shall have the hate of Satan by his servants. In the world, you shall have tribulation. That's what the Lord said to his disciples and still say to his true church. I am your companion in tribulation. And that's the way in which the Lord sanctifies his people and draws them back from the lust of the flesh, from this world, and to keep them close to him. For times of tribulation are often the best times. When in our tribulation we experience the wonderful nearness of our Lord. It was not easy for the Apostle Paul and Barnabas to be in prison. Very painful. In the depth. But the Lord came over with his love. And they sang in the middle of the night the glory of God. Wonderful. A happy people. In prison. A body full of pain. And yet the love and the nearness of the Lord. I am your companion in tribulation. It is not possible to have no tribulation as long as we a body full of sin. As long as we have flesh, which is willing always what God forbids. When we have the struggle in our own heart, I am your companion in tribulation, in your struggle, in your daily struggle. At the one side, you want to be holy for the Lord. At the one side, you are, on the other side, you are so worldly. But I am your companion. It's very nice to meet people who can really understand you. When you have the feeling he has the same struggle because he has the same love. And John, the apostle of love, is coming so near us. He's our brother, our companion in our tribulation. He wants to say, I have the same. I feel the same. I understand you from out my own experience. And we are united because we love Christ. We have the struggle and we have the hate of the world and the devil. And we cannot escape it here. But the Lord uses this to sanctify us, to bring us closer to him. So world and devil and flesh must work together to our best. For all things must work together to our best. When we are on the narrow way unto salvation. I am also your companion in the kingdom. That's the other side. The last time we saw in verse 6 that the Lord has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Maybe you don't feel yourself a king. You are a simple woman or man, or child. Am I a king? I am your companion in the kingdom. By grace we belong when we are a brother of John. We belong to the kingdom of God. We belong to the kingdom which is coming and which has come already in our heart and is existing in this world. And we are in this world and not from this world. Companion in the kingdom. We are united with the King, and the King is ruling in our heart and life. Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, what was written above the cross? Jesus, King of the Jews. King. Kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Is that desire in our soul? The people of God shall rule as kings. They who are conquering, I shall give them to sit within me, with me, in my throne. There is a glorious future for the children of God. Companion in the kingdom, companion in the glory. Lift up your eyes and heart, he will say. Look to the future which is coming. Be encouraged. That's an eternal kingdom. That's an eternal glory. The tribulation is very short. Only 10 days. He says at another place. A very short time. A time which God himself rules. Very short. Our light tribulation, which goes, passes very soon, works out an eternal salvation, says the apostle. I am a companion in the tribulation, yes, but also in the kingdom. What a wonder, full grace, congregation, when we can say that too. When we are included, for the word of God is excluding or including. When we use the keys of the preaching of the Holy Word of God, you come in the church, always one of the two things happens. You are excluded or you are included. A brother, a companion, belonging to that wonderful, graceful family of the living God, or you are standing still outside. How endless miserable. How endless sad to hear the gospel and not really believe. To hear Jesus Christ preached and inwardly reject him by unbelief. To be excluded. Oh, that's relentless, terrible. But now you are among the world by which you are invited and called to the Lord. There comes a time when you reject this call that you are excluded into all eternity. For his kingdom is coming. Are you a child of the kingdom? Did you see that glorious kingdom by a new birth? Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he is also a companion in the patience of Jesus Christ. The Greek word has also the meaning perseverance, staying to the end, not going away. Jesus Christ was faithful to the end, faithful unto death. By his death we live. And when we are really a brother of John, united with Christ, we are also companion with him in the patience of Christ, for Christ is living in us and we are living in him. And it's absolutely sure that within very short time we shall be where he is, a companion, a brother. How close comes the apostle to us? To us? Yes. When we are also a brother. When we are united with Christ. Oh, what a dear family. What a blessed family. He was in the isle that is called Patmos, a small isle, not so far from the coast of Turkey, about 5 hours. By a boat, I once made a trip and once preached on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. Very special to be there, on the place where the Lord gave his revelation to his servant. Very impressive. He was there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, I think, congregation, when the Apostle John had been silent and never spoke about Christ and the necessity of conversion and the glory of Christ, he had never been at Patmos. For the devil likes it very much when the people of God is silent and bring not out the word of God, gave no witness of the glory of Christ. But when you are engaged and busy from out the love of your heart to win souls for Christ, then you shall see it always, that the hate of Satan and the world comes against you. When your life is really fruitful, then there shall be the tribulation too. When you are silent and no one can see at you, at your work, and in your life that you are a Christian, well, then they think it's okay that you go to the church. That's your own choice. Every man makes his own choice. Let me free. But when you don't do that, you let not a man free. John did not. He was preaching the word of God as long as he could. Nearly 100 years old. And yet he was preaching, fresh and green, full of the love of Christ, serving his congregation in Ephesus. Not too far from Patmos. At the west coast of what's now Turkey. There he had his congregation. There he was laboring with much fruit and much love. And there are a couple of stories, not in the Bible, but in the history of the church, about the life of John. An old story is that he came back from Patmos. He was very weak, and that he couldn't walk, but yet came in the midst of the congregation on a chair. And that he couldn't speak, so old and weak, that he only said, "Children, love each other. Children, love each other." He loved his master. He loved his fellow sinners. And he brought the word of God to them. And his labors were fruitful. He was a man full of the Spirit. He was a man very close to the Lord. And therefore the devil said, "Let me take away that man. He is too dangerous for me." And the Lord allowed it. But the devil is very stupid. The devil is mighty, but not almighty. The devil knows a lot, but he doesn't know everything. He has not stand in the counsel of God. Therefore, he does always the wrong things. And when we follow the steps of the devil, we do always the wrong things. We think we make a good choice. We make a lot of money. We have success in our business. But we are wrong. There, the apostle at his age was brought in exile to Patmos in the midst of criminals. For it was a prison for heavy criminals, Roman criminals.
they were brought to Patmos.
And there the Lord brought his child. And there he had one of the most blessed times in his whole life. And there he was more fruitful for the church of God than he ever could be when he had stayed in Ephesus. The Lord knows only what is good. A heavy way for flesh and blood. A way of tribulation. On Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He couldn't be silent. I once had the privilege to speak together at a meeting with a Russian minister. And he had been in Russian prisons, the most heavy prisons, for 17 years. And I never met him before, and I never forget that I met him for the first time. He only spoke Russian. And I'm not able to speak that language, to understand it. So we couldn't speak with each other. But when I saw his eyes, I saw this. Sanctified by suffering. And without words, I felt such a tie and love in Christ for that man. And when he spoke at night, he said, "When I should have made the choice, the call to the heaviest prisons of Russia, I should have always denied. Such a call, such a place, no. But the Lord brought me there and blessed me there." And he told me too that he was very unexpected and suddenly freed by means of President Johnson of the United States. And the last night that he was in prison, he was brought in another cell full of very heavy murderous criminals. And they asked him, "Why are you here? How many people did you kill?" He said, "I'm here because I'm a Christian." One of them said, "Then you must have a Bible." And he had such a small Gospel of Mark. And the Lord had given him the grace all the time that he could hide it, and they never found it. And then that criminal said, "Give your Bible to us." And he was so tired, he gave the Bible. They began to read. And when he awoke the following morning, he found several of dead criminals weeping. And they asked him, "Pastor, is there for us also a way to be saved? We read from a murderer who was saved. Is it for us too possible, you think?" And he preached them the gospel. And after some hours, they took him away there. He was put on a plane. He was brought to New York. But before he departed, they asked him, "Let your Bible here. God shall give you a new Bible." And at first he said, "No, I can't. All the time, all the years, this small book has been my comfort, my strength." And they said, "God shall give you another one." And after a day, he slept in a very nice hotel. And next to his bed, there was a complete Russian Bible. How wonderful are the ways. John should not make the choice himself, maybe. But we have not to choose. The Lord rules in our life. He sends his servants when he will, where he will, to his pleasure. And then he has work for them. Saving work, wonderful work. There is not more beautiful work than the work of a minister sent by the Lord himself. But it's not easy for the flesh. A companion in tribulation. At Patmos for the word of God. There it happened. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day is the first day. The Lord's day, that's the day of the resurrection of the Lord. The Lord's day, that's the day that the Lord revealed himself to his disciples as the living Savior. The Lord's day, that's the day that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon all flesh. Therefore, the Lord's day is the day we keep as the day of the Lord, the Holy New Testamentical Sabbath. And let me never change it. For that's to the word of God. And also here we hear, on the Lord's day, wonderful day. Is that a wonderful day for us too? Is that a day for which we are longing the whole week? When we go to the house of God, when the Spirit is working in the hearts of people, young and old, I was on the Lord's day, it happened. And how often has it happened on the Lord's day? That sinners were saved, that the burden of guilt fell away, that the liberty and the freedom of the gospel and the gladness and the joy in God was a reality by His sovereign grace in the hearts of sinners. Oh, wonderful day, unforgettable day, unforgettable moments when heaven is opened. And that's what here happens and still happens. Not in this particular, this special way, but the Lord opens the heaven for His people when He lifts up our souls and gives us a forecast of eternal joy and love. And that we can't understand. We can only admire and worship and adore our Lord when that happens. He was lifted up in the Spirit. That means He was full of God. Lifted up from the earth, from all earthly and sinful things, from all human things. And He saw something of the invisible things. And the Spirit is working wonderful. It happens. We read it more often in the Scripture. When the Apostle Paul was lifted up, he was brought in heaven. And he said, I don't know if it happened in the flesh or outside the flesh, but it happened. Wonderful experience of eternal reality. When the Spirit of God is filling the hearts of His children, His servant. And this blessing the apostle don't receive for himself only. He receives it for the church, for the benefit and the blessing of the church. And therefore we are here together. Because the Lord gave His servant nearly 2,000 years ago to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day and revealed Him such wonderful, special things. And one of the fruits is that we are tonight together here, congregation. And that we may hear it. That we may become wholly jealous. That we may be united with this dear child and servant of God in the same love and in the same faith. And heard behind me the great voice as of a trumpet. First, he heard the great voice before he saw that scripture. Before we see, we hear. And faith cometh by hearing. Not by seeing. Seeing is the fruit of hearing the gospel with faith. Therefore he heard the great voice as a trumpet, a voice which made a very deep and powerful impression on his soul. A voice he could never forget, and yet he knew that voice, for it was the voice of his master. My sheep know my voice, sometimes very soft and tender, nearly in a silence. When the Lord is near to his people. Sometimes very loud, very impressive. Here it is very impressive. It's a sound which must fill the world. It's a sound which must fill the times. It's the voice, the powerful voice of the glorified Christ. To whom is the future? To whom is the glory? And people must hear this voice. Powerful. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia. What the apostle received from the Lord, he was not allowed to keep it for himself. He was commanded to write it down, and to write it to the seven churches. Seven is the holy number. Seven is the divine number. And in the seven churches, we see the fullness of the church of all times, at all nations. So these letters come also to the church of Grand Rapids. So the contents of these letters come also to us. And by the grace of Lord, if the Lord gives us the grace, we hope to say more about the contents of this wonderful revelation. And let us pray, congregation, that we may feel the power, that we may understand the message, and that we be made fruitful by it, that we personally hear the voice of our Master in it, and are comforted with the future which is revealed in this last portion of the Bible. And let us be praying and longing that when we are engaged with the explanation of these letters, that we may experience it as if they are written to us personally, that they may come in our hearts, renew our lives, and we shall be prepared when our King is coming. Amen. Let us think and pray now. O Lord, thou art the same love, the same power, the same grace. O Lord, we beseech thee, work it in the hearts of each of us. Be the great preacher in our hearts, so that we cannot forget this thy holy word, that it bear fruits, saving fruits, in the hearts of each of us, that thy people may be comforted, but also admonished, that there shall be no silence, but that we may be witness, that we have no shame and fear for man, but that our hearts may be filled with the love of Christ. O Lord, that we may be a living congregation.
that the warmth of the love of Christ is felt in the midst of us. Lord, bless us. Pardon all our sins, also from this service, in hearing and in speaking, that our hearts may long for thy holy day, the Lord's day, that we may be in the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, and so prepared for thy eternal kingdom. O Lord, we thank thee for everything. Thou art good for such wretched people as we are. We cannot understand. We can only admire and glorify thee, and also get his grace only. O Lord, bring us safely home. Prepare us for our eternal home. And hear us only for Jesus' sake. Amen.